The horned, long-haired muskox, once plentiful in Alaska, was so overhunted that by the mid-19th century, it vanished from Alaska. Efforts to bring back and to domesticate the gentle animals began in the 1950s with a few muskoxen captured in Canada. As KSKA's Ellen Lockyer reports, a Palmer farm now provides a safe home for a growing herd and its seven new babies.
Yes, a little bit.
All right, well, have you
fashion-conscious Alaskans can find unique and very warm knitted winter wear at Umingmak, an Anchorage shop on a busy downtown street. But where does the lightweight yarn called Kiviut come from? Literally off the back of a 700-pound muskox bull named Papaya. Nick McElroy is an interim director at the muskox farm in Palmer. He's watching as three interns pull the undercoat from Papaya using a long-toothed comb.
It's a part of our project. We're actually working to domesticate the muskox, and the end of that is them as a sustainable northern form of agriculture. We're exclusively concerned with harvesting their Kiviut. It's also incredibly valuable.
The Kiviut comes off in thick, matted chunks, leaving long, silky black outer hairs on Papaya's back. He's impatiently stamping his hooves, although most of the adult muskoxen there are used to the procedure. The woolly hair the animal sheds is spun into yarn at an East Coast facility, then shipped back to Alaska. Women in western Alaska villages like Bethel and McCuriuk knit the yarn into garments using unique Alaska Native designs. Nick shares interim director duties with Quill Teal Sullivan, who is the granddaughter of John Teal Jr., the anthropologist who was the first to advance the idea that the muskox could be domesticated.
We by no means at this point have what we'd consider a domesticated herd. You know, you think of cattle or goats or sheep that have been domesticated for thousands of years, and they've been bred for, you know, certain purposes. So we still have a lot of experimenting, trial and error, research to do, and we still have a lot of that wild DNA. We have really intelligent, curious animals, which is part of the delight of the muskox.
The animals on the farm are treated more like pets than livestock. Many are bottle-raised. They have personalities and names like Luna or Papaya. Two 2-year-olds named Shagaluk and Safety snuffle their snouts through the fence, curious as to what these human visitors are doing. At present, Kiviut is the only product of the farm. After it is cleaned and processed, the yarn is sold to the Umingmak Cooperative, which supplies the knitters. The garments they make are prized and command high prices. Not so long ago, when muskox herds that once roamed the north were decimated by Eskimo hunters hired by whaling crews to provide meat supplies, by 1845, there were no muskoxen in Alaska.
A lot of them will walk right up to us.
It's been a long road back for the fuzzy, goofy-looking animals. 60 years after Teal started his experiment in taming them, the herd in Palmer is doing well. On a pleasant May morning, a walk through one of the pastures on the 77-acre farm is a treat.
Come on, boys!
Nick shakes a bucket of muskox feed to attract the animals. He says the animals represent a challenge to animal husbandry. They have to be carefully monitored for weight, illness, Kiviut production, and myriad other things. Their hooves have to be clipped regularly, too.
We handle them a lot. We're going to weigh every animal once a week. It's great for monitoring their health because they have so much hair. We can't tell if they have an infection or there's an abscess or an open wound or something.
The farm is owned by the nonprofit Muskox Development Corporation, although the actual musk oxen are still owned by the Teal family. As with any farm, meeting the bottom line is a challenge. Nick admits money is a constant concern. Hay, for instance, is expensive. The farm makes a little money on tours during the summer, but Kiviut is the bread and butter crop. In a 15 to 20 year lifespan, a musk ox can produce a lot of Kiviut.
7 pounds a year. So in a lifetime, a muskox can produce huge huge quantities of kivyu and a lot of value. And that's one reason why raising muskox for their kivyu is in a way much more like sustainable and valuable than, you know, killing them for one-time use for their meat. If we can get like over $10,000 of kivyu in a lifetime of an animal, that's much more than we would for if we sold them for meat, which just isn't part of our vision really at all.
That vision could mean muskox farms in, say, Kotzebue or Wainwright. Nick says that's a possibility, but in the far distant future. Meanwhile, musk oxen calves, 7 new ones this year, chase each other under the watchful eyes of their mamas, oblivious to any human cares. They'll thrive here and grow up to contribute their shaggy hair to make hats and mittens, in their way knitting Western Alaska into the fabric of a successful commercial enterprise. I'm Ellen Lockyer.